Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Saturday afternoon Sabbath service. Let's all arise to sing hymn 143. Sing hymn 143. 143. Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. Jesus, I can trust thee, trust thy written word. Since thy voice of mercy I have often heard, when thy spirit teacheth to my taste how sweet, only may I hearken, sitting at thy feet. Jesus, I do trust thee without doubt. Whosoever cometh, thou wilt not cast out. Faithful is thy promise, precious is thy blood. This my soul's salvation, thou my Savior God. In thy love confiding, I will seek thy face, worship and adore thee for thy wondrous grace. Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ, and now we shall say our first prayer. In our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide and lead us in our afternoon Sabbath service. At the same time, we also give thanks to our Lord that once again on this Sabbath day, we are able to gather here to worship our Lord God in heaven. And we pray that the blessings of God will come upon all those whom observe this commandment of the Lord. Shall we now, in one accord, kneel down to pray? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Arrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I speak. First and foremost, well, we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ that on this Sabbath day, once again, we are able to gather here to learn the Word of God as well as to observe the Sabbath. This afternoon, we shall study a few verses of the Bible for our mutual encouragement. And this afternoon, we shall study from the book of Amos. Let's turn to Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Let's see verse 6. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. So verse 4 are the words of the Lord God to his people. And in verse 6 are the words of the prophet. So in the Bible, as we are reading, we must know who is speaking and what are the contents. It is actually a warning or a prophecy, or is it just merely stating a fact? This here we can see is actually an admonition from the Lord God, where the Lord wants the people to seek him. So in verse 6, this is the words of the prophet in response to the words of God in verse 4, to tell them to seek God and to live. Then we see verse 8, Amos chapter 5, verse 8. He who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning, and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. So this is the God whom we worship, whom we seek today. So here the prophet is introducing to us the Lord God in whom we worship today. He is the creator of heavens and earth. He is the Lord of life. His power is unlimited, for there's nothing impossible with him. He can do all things beyond our imagination. Only then we'll be able to realize who is this God that we worship today. With the present science and technology, we are able to understand further these facts about God, where he is one who is filled with love and compassion. If we seek the Lord, we shall live. Meaning to say, at that time, the people have departed from God and do not want to seek after him. That's why the Lord God at that time raised the prophet to warn them in this generation, in this era. Normally, during the dark times, the heart of the people have departed from God. And usually this occurs during the time of prosperity. We often seek God in times of trouble. Just like now, when we are facing COVID-19, of course, many has been said, much has been said about the loss of sense of security and peace. So under the sun, there is nothing new. What has happened in the past will also happen now. And when trouble occur, people will tend to be reminded to be zealous and to seek him. Yet after some time, not long, people will go back to their unique way of life. And in the Bible, it makes use of the Israelites as a mirror to reflect upon ourselves today in the last days. So as we look into the Old Testament, into the history of the people, this is to remind them of what will happen to us as well in the last days. So during the time of Amos, the people actually lived in prosperity, yet actually their hearts are away from God. God called upon the prophets to warn them, because the prophet had already seen their ending. Hence, the prophets made a lamentation for them. Let's see chapter 5, verse 1. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. So these are the words of the prophet. We have seen examples of those who have fallen by the road, and at times we also see that no one there to lift them. For once they have fallen, their lives also will end. Let's see verse 2. Amos chapter 5, verse 2. Fallen no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken on a land with none to rise her up. So calamity will come upon us suddenly. Then in verse 3. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. So this is a very frightening scene indeed, where only 10% will survive. If this pandemic were to continue, we know many people will lose their life. And even in certain areas, the death rate is high, and it causes us to be afraid. After a few months ago, we can see a few months ago, all were living, enjoying prosperity and success. No one would have imagined such calamity and the disaster would suddenly come upon men. Let's see Amos chapter 1, verse 1. Amos 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Amos 1, verse 1. This is the background of the time of Amos. It was in the reign of Uzziah in Judah and the reign of Jeroboam in Israel, where it was 2 years before the earthquake. Therefore, we can see the earthquake was known to all. It was so terrifying that all knew about it, especially those who encountered it before. Just like in the September 21st earthquake in Taiwan, those who have encountered will know that this was not a good experience altogether. History will reveal all of this. And it has also historical record of it. So this earthquake was also mentioned in the book of Zechariah. Let's turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 5. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. So this actually explains to us what is mentioned, or what we have just read in Amos 1 verse 1, where this is a prophecy of the coming Messiah, where many people would flee like the day of the earthquake. Many would run away. So 2 years before the earthquake, God raised up prophet Amos to preach the warning. And at that time, the people chose not to listen. They took his words as a reference and did not even bother about it. So why is it that the people did not bother all these prophetic warnings? So if we were to study the Kings and the Chronicles, look at the history of the Israelites. In Judah, King Uzziah, his kingdom was strong. And this king was also a wise king. He loved inventions. He invented many things, including weapons. He also loved agriculture, where one of his hobbies was to cultivate the land. So in Judah, indeed, was a rich land. We may think, what about the northern kingdom Israel? So during the reign of Jeroboam II, it was at that time at the height of history of the kingdom of Israel in their 200 over years of history. The people at that time lived a very contented life. But at that time, the people's heart were away from God. They did not care about the requirement of God in the midst of luxurious living. So in Amos chapter 1, verse 2. And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. So here, Amos received this revelation from God, where the Lord roars. God will administer his justice, even top of Carmel, which was supposed to be bountiful, will also wither. Meaning to say, trying times are coming. And afterwards, he continued to list out the transgressions of the nations, 3 and 4 transgressions of the nations that surrounded them. So in verse 3, thus says the Lord, this is just an example in verse 3, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4 I will not revoke the punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. Verse 8, thus says the Lord, another example, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4 I will not revoke the punishment, because they carried into exile a whole people to deliver them up to Edom. And then we can also see verse 9 concerning Tyre, verse 10, verse 11 concerning Edom, and verse 13 concerning the Ammonites, verse chapter 2, verse 1, the transgressions of Moab, the transgressions of Judah, the transgressions of Israel, the transgressions of the people around them, the nations around them. So this was the justice of God that would come. So all the nations at that time, they actually encounter this, they have committed this transgression, and as a result, they were punished. So they continued to sin. They were not even willing to change, not even having any sense or feeling of guilt. So men continue to incur the wrath of God by sinning against them. This we have already seen in Amos chapter 1 to chapter 1, where the Lord God declares this message to the nations around them. And in Amos chapter 3, here we can see there are 4 proclamations of the prophet. In chapter 3, verse 1, Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. So hear, the Lord told them, hear. So what do they need to hear? If they choose not to hear, they will also suffer destruction. Even they live luxuriously, they live selfishly without any love. Why do we say so? Let's see verse 15. Amos chapter 3, verse 15. Amos chapter 3, verse 15. I will strike the winter house along with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall come to an end, declares the Lord. So what sort of life they were even living in? They have two houses, beautiful decorations. Houses were great. They lived in rich lives. But at the end, all will come to an end. They had a very good quality of life, a great quality of life. But what was the essence of their lives? Let's see chapter 4, verse 1. Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring, bring that we may drink. So they use what they have to fulfill the lust of their flesh. Let's continue to see Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6. Now, what did they do in order to enjoy their lives? Let's see verse 1. Amos 6, verse 1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. So even politically, they saw themselves as being very blessed by God. Yet the prophet proclaimed woe to them. That's why from verses 3 to 6, let's see verse 3. Amos chapter 6, verses 3. O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall. Verse 5. Who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David invent for themselves instruments of music. Verse 6. Who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. So we can see in all aspects of their life, they were rich, able to enjoy a very good place to rest, able to eat the best, able to have the best entertainment, enjoyment of life, able to take the best food, the best drink, able to put on the most expensive of all things. So in all aspects of life, they were rich. So similarly to the people today, they were rather, we can see the people have advanced culturally, but yet they did not realize that the day of doom was approaching. Verse 3. O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. So they thought it was still a long time before it came up. What is this end times? So we can see that there is no sense of urgency among the people. What they wanted to do is just to enjoy this present life. And then verse 6, here it mentions the ruin of Joseph, or even certain versions tell us it is the affliction of Joseph. So when Joseph was sold to Egypt, it was because of this affliction that he occurred that the people of Israel was able to receive glory in Egypt. And it was God's grace that the Israelites were able to multiply exceedingly, and they became the most powerful nation, after which they began to suffer. The Lord saved them. They did not remember how God brought them out of this affliction. God wanted his people to remember the salvation they had received. However, the people forgot about the suffering that they have once gone through while they were living in Egypt. So they have already forgotten that, especially now. They have forgotten the suffering that they have gone through, especially when they pass an easy way of life. This was the attitude of the people towards life. But now the prophet told them, seek the Lord and live. They have to know the God that they once worshipped and what God actually requires of them. So how do we seek this God? Let's see Amos chapter 5, verse 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 5. But do not seek Bethel and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile and Bethel shall come to nothing. So Bethel was in the place in the northern kingdom where at that time this king Jeroboam set up this golden calf for the people to worship. So Bethel actually was likened to the center of their religious activities in the northern kingdom. It was originally the house of God, but now it has turned into a house of other gods. So later it was renamed as Beth Aven in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 15. So when God asked the people to seek him and they shall live, God told them not to go up to Bethel, for it shall come into nothing. So the people were thinking, as long as they go to the land, the place of God, they are safe. But they did not understand that actually God wanted to destroy this place. Therefore, when we want to seek God, we should seek the one true God, to worship him according to God's will. We are not to worship anything that was created by man. We also cannot worship God according to our own method, our own thoughts and rationalities. What the Lord wants us to do now is to seek him wholeheartedly, to use our heart to seek what is true. Similarly to what has been said in the book of Joel chapter 2. Let's turn to the book of Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. Verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So in verse 12 here tells us, we cannot worship God and at the same time, in our inner heart, we are not able to let down our material enjoyment, our earthly enjoyment. So in our heart, there are many idols that will cause us not to worship the one true God or to totally prevent us to seek him. Many a times we see this is the matter of the heart, which include our outward pursuits of life. So that is why in the book of Jeremiah, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, let's see verses 12 to 13. Jeremiah 29 verses 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here, to seek the Lord with our heart, and he will be found by us. So in Amos chapter 5, let's come back to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 verse 7, O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. So if we want to truly seek God, we should practice or even to seek his justice. So what does the Lord require of us? The prophet in the book of Micah chapter 6 verse 8 has told us, what does the Lord require of us? Let's turn to Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So this is what the Lord requires of us. That is, we are to do justly, not only in our home, not only in the society, or even the church. But whatever we do, we must be mindful of the righteousness of God. We need to discern between right and wrong, to have a very clear stand between holiness and defilement or uncleanliness or unholiness. Justice and holiness are inseparable. God wants us to do what is right. At the same time, He also wants us to be holy like Him. Hence, the people at that time, they have the Lord God send woe upon them. So what is this heart of God? Let's turn to Amos 5, verse 24. Amos chapter 5, verse 24. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So here it tells us very clearly, the foundation. What about the foundation of this? Where is the foundation of God's righteousness? Verse 7. Or you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. So what does the Lord want? The heart of God is of justice and righteousness. So the true sacrifices that God wants of us today is to truly do justly in the eyes of God in our daily life. Therefore, those who return to God, who want to truly worship God, are those who do so out of their heart and not just a superficial act of worship. Therefore, today, let us also take note of our faith, not to enable them to be superficial, but rather to live out truly our life of faith. Make this faith a real one of our own, not to just show a manifest, our outward manifestation only. That's why sometimes in our faith, we also need to be reminded we are not to be a hypocrite in our faith. There are many people who always will say they are not pleased with us Christians because of our behavior. They feel that the believers are hypocritical. Different behavior when we go to church. When we leave the church, we have another person. So as a result, we can see today, this is something for us to ponder about. So all our aspects of life today, let us live according to the truth in order to gain the pleasure of the Lord. Look at the people in the time of Amos. Let's come back to Amos chapter 5, verse 21. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though, verse 22, even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look on them. Verse 23. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. So here we can see the Lord hate the superficial acts of worship of the people of Israel at that time. He rejected their offerings and singing and praises for God is truly not within your heart. So at the time, the Lord is telling them, why have their faith fallen into such a state then? So let's see verse 25. So this is what the Lord told them. Verse 25. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Verse 26. You shall take up Sikuth, your king, and Kiun, your star god, your images that you made for yourselves. Verse 27, and I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. So the Lord really foretold them that in the future they will be taken into exile. And we can see this statement from verses 25 to 27. This was also mentioned by Stephen when before he was stoned, and he was speaking of it in his own defense. Let's turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, we see verses 42 and 43. Verse 42. We see from verse 41. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. Verse 42. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, verse 40. Of the prophets, did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Verse 43. You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. So this was actually before Stephen was stoned. So he reminded his fellow men concerning this historical recording of events, how their forefathers departed from God, what they did in the wilderness. At that time, they rejected the work of God and even treated the words of God as useless in verse 41. Where you see, so verse 42 and verse 43, this is a quotation from the book of Amos chapter 5 verses 25 to 27. Where at that time they worshipped this Moloch that was the god of the Ammonites. What about Rephan? It's the god of the Egyptians. So all these are the gods, all the foreign gods. So all this concept of worshipping other gods at that time have entered the people's life. As a result, apparently, it seems that even though they are actually worshipping God, but in reality, they are not. So what God sees or esteems in our heart today is not what our physical hand can offer. Of course, God has his requirements of offering. But these are not the main point. What he truly wants is our heart. We have to discern and to separate ourselves from the custom of the world, from the people outside. Where today, very importantly, we can only live today because we have the preservation and the protection of God. So now the most important thing is we should seek the Lord and live him. We have to magnify our Lord God in our life, just as what the Bible tells us, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he promises to be our rock, to be our shelter. In danger, he will protect us. To grasp hold of this promise of God and to have faith in him. So that is why today we must adjust our lives in order to be pleasing to him. We are all the more to continually to seek our Lord God with our heart. To remove all these matters of sin from our lives, even of all ages, from the young to the old. Now there's no longer a time for us to enjoy, but this time, even though we are restricted, but it's time to sanctify ourselves in preparation of meeting the Lord. Just like when the people, before God descended upon Mount Sinai, he also told the people to clean themselves, to prepare themselves. So we must be holy in order to meet God. That's why now it is very important in our services, in the family, in the church, where now we are not able to, but we have RE classes online, fellowships, youth fellowships, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to esteem the work of prayer. Our heart must not be lost in the world, especially now when our movements are restricted. We have a lot of time to do many things of the world, to surf the net, to do shopping online, and etc. There are so many things we can do. And some even have wasted their time upon the entertainment of the world. So we must not misuse this time of God, but rather to draw near to the Lord God. That's why the Elder James have encouraged us. Finally, let's turn to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's see verses 3 and 4. James chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So verse 3, verse 4. So their hearts have already departed from God. So verse 5. Let's see verse 5. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? So here it tells us God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can fully love our Lord as he has loved us. He expects us to love God all the more. So make use of this time to cleanse our heart, to read the word of God, to pray more. So that after this crisis, we can have a better relationship with God, where prayer enables us to have fellowship and communication with God, just like having a relationship of love with him. Therefore, in verse 7, continue to see, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So therefore, only then we'll be able to have the strength to overcome our enemy, that through this crisis, our spirituality will continue to improve. Therefore, we need to seek the Lord wholeheartedly, irrespective of when the Lord will come. That is just to wait patiently, as recorded by Elder James here, just like the farmer. Let's see verse 8. Finally, let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 8, verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So before he comes, there will be tribulations that we'll be hiding if we hide under his shadow, under his wings. At the end, we shall be preserved. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, in these last days, let us also, as what the prophet has said, seek the Lord and you shall live. This is not only from the Bible, it is also the word of the Lord God to his people. So finally, we give all glory and praise to our Lord God. Before we conclude our Sabbath service, let's once again arise to sing him 166. 166. Sing him 166. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wall on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. He will hide me, he will hide me, when no harm can betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. Though he may send some affliction, twill but make me long for him. For in love and not in anger, all his chastenings will come. He will hide me, he will hide me, no harm will ever betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. Enemies may strive to injure, Satan all his hearts employ. God will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. He will hide me, he will hide me, no harm can ever betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. So while on the cross I'm bearing, meeting storms and billows wild, Jesus, for my soul is caring, nor can harm his father's child. He will hide me, he will hide me, no harm can ever betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. We thank the grace of our Lord. And now we shall say our concluding prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to pray for one another. We also pray for our families, so that all our brothers and sisters, and especially those, our friends and relatives, our brothers and sisters, especially our elderly ones, who are not feeling well, whether physically or spiritually. In our prayer, we also pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to preserve us. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Arr. So we shall end here. All glory to God. Amen.